All right. Good to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate that special Sister Erica just sang. And I recognize a lot of folks were wanting snow for Christmas and they've gone north hunting it. Sure not here. Best we can do at Landmark is turn the thermostat down. And the old preacher used to turn it down lower than you've been noticing. Have you been noticing that? I used to hear all kind of gripes, freezing in there. I said, well, wear a sweater. Anyway, I found this as pastored here, of course, 50 years. I found out that if you keep folks cool, they'll stay awake. You let them get warm, they go to sleep. And under my preaching, I needed all the help I could get, so I kept them awake, amen? With the thermostat, if nothing else. All right, all joking aside, a lot of our folks are gone for Christmas. It has seemed that way for a number of years. And a lot of us got family coming in. I think our family is going to come, and thank God we're not going to do the driving. They are, and should be in maybe late Monday. And I'm sure that's the case for some others. I know it's a season where a lot of folks are teaching on the birth of Christ, and that's all right, but I'm not. I'm going to stick right on with what I've been doing here. I'm trying my best to get through the book of Revelation before Jesus comes and hoping I fail. Amen. Hope I don't make it. Hope he comes first. But we'll ask you to go to Revelation chapter 20. And last week we took a little break and reversed ourselves and went back to chapter 13 a little bit, talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist, how it's represented and called a beast, both in Daniel and in Revelation. And Daniel chapter 7, I think we referenced for you last week, in so many places we could have gone. And talked about the fact that the UN has put up the image now of the beast out front. It's their insignia. It's amazing how open they're admitting that thing. The kingdoms of the world in the Bible are often compared to beasts. And there, right in front of the UN, I was preaching in Israel one time and forgot where I was, I guess, thinking I was home. And I said something about the UN, and I called them the United Nuts. That's what I've called them here many times. Would you believe the crowd approved of it? I expect of all people, they know that is the truth, amen? But the truth is, the kingdoms in the Bible are often referred to as a beast, and of course the Antichrist is called a beast. And in chapter 13, two men show up, the false prophet and the Antichrist. And then in Daniel it's referenced, and some of you pointed out, I didn't have, you know, so much to speak on, couldn't get it all in, but as we read about the different animals and how the beast before the UN right now is a diversified one representing all the kingdoms of the world, which the Antichrist unites together under his kingdom, and how that part of the beast, which is basically a leopard in looks, I think they call him a jaguar and a leopard. If you looked at them both in the zoo, you wouldn't know the difference. He's got the black spots and the yellow hide and the white stomach and all that business. And the leopard and the lion both are mentioned. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm just reviewing for some of you who talked with me a little bit. In Daniel chapter 7, the lion with wings, or the beast with wings, and then it says, as you move two or three verses deeper into Daniel chapter 7, it speaks of a leopard with the wings of a fowl. Now, somebody's pointed out, and prophecy preachers have taught this for years, and Larkin's done some great drawing, and others have copied his drawings. I was so amazed how they would write in our face, put that thing in front of the UN, when it fits the description of the Bible so clearly for the end time Antichrist kingdom. It is showing that all the nations of the world are going to unite under the false Christ, the Antichrist, and that is so representative. On that image of the beast they have placed up there in front of the UN, it's got a part representing as many different nations. I spoke about the the mouth of the lion. We think about that as the English-speaking folks. We think about England, Australia, Canada, and of course, America. But then the wings of an eagle, everybody says, well, that's America. Could have been. Where'd we come from? We came from England. You read a few verses down, and it says the wings were plucked. And some say, well, that's America facing defeat. Right now, with all the saber rattling and all the war talk between us and Russia and China and over Taiwan and over Russia's invasion, all that business looks like that could quite be possible. But also, we see the wings of the fowl on the leopard. And so we look on that image of the beast, and we can see parts representing all kind of nations, like the feet of the bear, the Russian, all of that, all the representatives. It's amazing to me how they put the rainbow colors, the homosexual colors, on the beast. Do you understand now that the homosexuals are almost wanting to be called a nation? They're not a nation. They are blight on any nation. But and come under God's judgment in the Bible many, many times. The nation of Israel, when they'd get a good king, he would destroy the houses of the Sodomites. Bad king would ignore them, and they'd build up again. What we've done in America now is let them build up beyond, and I fear bringing a curse on our nation, teaching our kids from kindergarten on that they might be homosexual, and all that business is really going on wild right now. Been going on for a long time. And the truth is that we've flown the colors from the White House. Colored up the White House with the rainbow colors when they passed some legislation granting superior rights, if you please, to homosexuals. I heard a military man say recently, he said, all the talk about going to war with Russia and China, he said, they're laughing at us. He said, our military has, and like this or not, ladies, you can get mad at me. He said, our military has been womanized, and it has been gay-anized. You know what he's saying? He's saying we're not the fighting men at World War II. Oh, yes, ladies played a big part in it, but we didn't put them in the front lines in the foxholes. And we didn't feminize our military. You read in what, Isaiah 6, a few other places where God mocks Israel. He tells them, when I bring judgment, I'll have women ruling over you. I'm not against you ladies. I love you. My mother was one. And my wife is one. But God has a part for you and a part for real men. And when we don't know the difference, we're sick. Really sick. And that's what is happening to us today in a big way. And sad, that's true. We're going to go to the last two verses of chapter 19 so we can kick into chapter 20. Chapter 20 is our big chapter. We're thinking about Christmas time. I'm not going to the Christmas story a little bit at all, but maybe a reference here or there. But the truth of the matter is Christmas time is the forerunner of the revealing of Jesus Christ to sit on the king. He was born a king, but he's not ruling on planet Earth as a king. He's despised greatly or mocked or misrepresented today. But the truth is the day is coming. They're going to find out that he is the king. And we have some decent Christmas songs and some not so good and others about him being a king. You remember how that Herod wanted to kill him because he said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? See, Herod was a usurper sitting on the throne at the birth of Christ. He didn't have any right there. And he was afraid that the promised seed had come, that the real king had showed up. So he killed the babies from 2 years old and down, right? And that's still the world showing its hate till this day to not have Christ set as king. When Pilate talked to the crowd, said, I find no fault in this man. He didn't seem to want to crucify the Lord. Spoke of him being the king of the Jews. And the mob didn't like that. Well, say he said he was. No, we're not. No, and you know what they said? They said, free Barabbas, crucify Christ. They said, we'll not have this man reign over us. But he is going to reign over his creation. He was born in a manger, but he's coming back, not as the meek and lowly Jesus to be crucified again, but he's coming back as we study him here in Revelation 19 with fire, eyes of flame of fire, coming on the white horse, leading the armies of heaven, speaking with a double-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. That's the Jesus the world's going to have to face next. And we're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to study that here in chapter 20. Now let's get this part first. Verse 19 of chapter 19. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. We saw where heaven was open and the white horse shows up with a true Savior, the Lord Jesus, on him. Now notice in verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. That's the two we were introduced to in chapter 13. Religious leader, the false prophet. The political leader, the beast. Governing over his kingdom. And it says, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Boy, this world is something else. You can get up and preach your heart out, preaching the truth, and folks will immediately follow after a little something they call a miracle they can't understand that they got deceived by. It is an amazing thing. I have people come to me as a pastor through the years. So-and-so done this, so-and-so done that. No, the truth is he deceived you. And it is a big day of deception that we live in today. And it says here, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles. He had the power to bring. Listen, folks, Satan can do not what God can do, but he can sure deceive mankind. And just because something appears to be supernatural and maybe is supernatural, we forget the underworld of the other world has power too. That's the devil. And that'll happen, is happening today, but it's really going to happen in the tribulation period. So the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them. Now notice who the them is he deceived. Them that had received the mark of the beast. It was mandated. They had to take it. Amen? Anything sound like that's kin to that today? And received the mark of the beast. I used to think when I was a younger Christian and began to read the Bible, how in the world, especially little Americans, bow down to take the mark of the beast. Boy, do I know now. Do I know now. It is amazing. Even church members and Christians that bowed to this propaganda thing that has scared everybody to death. By the way, do you know this new so-called strand on Omicron? Is that the way they say it? Scared to death of it. It's contagious. So is a common cold. It's been contagious for years. So far, and I heard the doctor just 2 days ago say worldwide they may have figured out it has killed 10 people. That's right. 10 people out of 7 billion. Probably that many choked on popcorn. I'm being a little facetious, but I just can't believe the propaganda that Americans swallow today. But it's going to be big enough to shut the schools down again, big enough to shut the economy down again, because that's what the plan is anyhow. That's what the whole thing is about. And it's ridiculous. Even the black lady doctor in Africa that was given credit for discovering it, she said, everybody gets over it. It's just a cold. It don't go down in your lungs deep like the worst of the COVID did, but it's up here. I have that all the time. Didn't know it, but that's what the puppet should call it. Anytime you want to hear a good nose blow, just ask me. I can do it. Now, I'm playing with you some, but I've had allergies. I don't know what I'm allergic to. Life, I think. But I've had that problem for years and years. And most of us have, one way or the other. A little sinus, we called it. You know, we excuse it. We do all that business. You know what? I'm going to give a little word of testimony. I want to thank God. Pastored 50 years, and when I first started preaching, I said, Lord, you know I have these sneezing fits sometimes. Can't sneeze once. 3, 4 times, and sometimes 5 or 6 times feels better. You know what I'm saying? 50 years pastoring here, 3 years in the country church, makes 53. I never had a sneezing fit one time. I think that's answered prayer. Because when I get in the car and start home, I'm liable to have one. All right, Lord, word of testimony, please let me, get back to the Bible here. Come on back to the Bible. These two beasts, cast alive, it says. Them that worshiped the image, these both beasts now, were cast alive, into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's the two beasts of Revelation 13. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, that's Jesus, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, Jesus comes back on the white horse. He defeats the armies. They've gathered against him, headed up by the beast here. He defeats them with what? Atom bomb? No. Missiles? No. With a sword. And the sword goes out of his mouth. Now, if you were to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, you find out the word of God is called a two-edged sword. It's the spoken word. The same one that was with God the Father in the garden and said, let us make man in our own image. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke the creation into existence according to Colossians 1. All things by him consist. And all he's got to do to defeat the beast and his armies is speak it. His word. That's the sword that goes out of his mouth. The word of God, a sharper than a two-edged sword. So we see the end of chapter 19. The Lord is coming back, leading the armies of heaven. He defeats the beast. He casts them into the lake of fire, alive, it says. Now we start off in chapter 20 of Revelation. It says, I saw an angel. Come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Now, we run into this before. If you were to flip back to chapter 9, very quickly here in the book of Revelation, we find the bottomless pit again here. And in chapter 9, it says, the fifth angel sounded, verse 1, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. That's not a regular twinkle, twinkle little star. That's a personality. And to him, the personality, was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, if you drop on further in chapter 9, you find out he has a name. And we find out that he is the devil incarnate. And we find out in Hebrew his name is Abaddon. In the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. We find that same word translated in John 17 when the Lord is praying the prayer, the Lord Jesus praying a prayer, a real heavenly prayer to a real heavenly Father, where Jesus prays to his Father, is John 17. It's not our Father which art in heaven. That we call it the Lord's Prayer, but that was the disciples' model prayer. Where Jesus is praying and prayed for you and I was in John 17 when he prayed to the Father. And he said to the Father in that prayer, I've kept all those you've given me except the son of perdition. The word perdition is the same word as Apollyon over here in chapter 9. And we find out when Jesus calls Judas the son of perdition, he's using the same word. So we're dealing with the devil. And the one that is in the Antichrist that's cast into the lake of fire here, we find is referenced in the bottomless pit. Now, the angel in chapter 20 comes down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. You know, Christmas time, you're going to probably, if you watch any TV, they're going to do the Scrooge thing. Anybody? I don't want to see it no more. But there was a truth, you know, not the angel, but the devil shows up for Christmas past and Ebenezer Scrooge and all that. You have seen that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But you remember how chains are involved? Now, you look in the literature of the world, and when it's talking on a subject like, you'll see it this Christmas time, you'll see some image with a guy with a big chain on him. And a lot of spooky stories are told about folks hearing chains rattle and all that. But there's some chains involved in this thing on the hell side of it, not on the heaven side, but chains. You find Satan chained. I think about the old grandma whose son went off to college and got too smart for his britches. And he came home and he said, "Grandma, you always fussing about the devil giving you trouble. I studied and I found out and they taught me in class that the devil's chained up. He can't be bothering you." She said, "Well, he sure got a long chain then." I agree with her. No, he's not chained yet, but he is going to be chained. And we'll read about that here. A great chain. Let me say this. You say, is that a literal change? Let me say this. We get mixed up. Everything to us has to be physical. Things can be real that aren't physical. And I would suspect this is a special chain that the devil's going to have forged for him. May not be the chain you can pull the car off with or hook up the wagon with, but it is just as much a chain. And it reflects and makes you think about somebody being chained or tied up or imprisoned or something like that. When we were over in Israel, Brother Lee back there, remember when we went up in the Golan Heights and went into the bunkers where the Syrians, Palestinians, so-called Muslims were firing down on the Jews in the Kidron Valley. No, I think I called the valley wrong. But anyway, Golan Heights. We went up on the Golan Heights and they were firing down on the kibbutz in the village. And our guide, who was an ex-military man, Scotty, you remember, he took us in those bunkers. Those bunkers had been poured and made out of concrete, and they were the jet airplanes couldn't blow them out of the mountains. And so the Jewish soldiers had to come up the mountainside in that war and go inside those bunkers hand-to-hand combat. But what they found when they got in there was that the Arab soldiers had been chained to the floor. They could not run. And we saw those chains. We saw where they were anchored into the floor. They had to fight to the death. They could not run. And awful, awful thing to see. Man has done a lot of awful things with chains. And we look at medieval castles. I've been in one or two of them and seen some. Most castles had their own built-in jailhouse. It wasn't the doghouse the husband sleeps in. She could put him in jail if she was the queen. It wasn't the next bedroom or the couch. It was actual jail in some of those castles. They could put them in and chain them down. But here the chains are real, that Satan's going to have a great chain, a special chain for him. It says in verse 2, he laid hold on the dragon. All right, we've already found out the dragon and Satan, that old serpent, which is the devil, so clear, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, he's not bound now. Don't kid yourself. But the time's coming that he's going to be bound. Now, see, we ended chapter 19. The Lord is coming back. And he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And so he's going to find resistance. He's going to have to fight his own creation to set up his own kingdom. There's a lot of hypocrisy even in Christianity today. We say, "Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Okay, that's fine. But a lot of folks don't want that. They don't want his will done in Washington, D.C., do they? They don't want his will done in a lot of places. They want to use a lot of sweet platitudes and words and pictures that they don't mean at all. They don't mean at all. The lost world accuses Christianity of being hypocrites. And a lot of times they see a lot of hypocrisy, where we don't really, really practice what we preach, and we should. And here we find out that Satan now is taken, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's a length of time that tells us how long the millennial reign is going to be. And most of you know, we're heavy on prophecy here at our church. I've taught it for years, and we've had good preachers in. We learn a little bit about the time period. Now, most of us, we've read the verses in Psalms and in Peter where it says 1,000 years of the Lord is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. We recognize God did his creative days, 6 days of creation, and he rested on the seventh day. Do you know what this 1,000 years that Satan is bound in? It's the sabbatical rest. It's the seventh day rest. He created in 6 days, he rested on the seventh. The earth is running 6,000 years. I'm sorry, your false science is just wrong. It is running 6,000 years, and we're going to come to a rest. God built the whole creation on that, on the number seven. You've heard me say it so many times. There's only 7 real colors in the world. White is an absence of color. Count them all up. All the rest of them, you mix them together and get all those many different colors you ladies like to keep painting the bedroom. But you get them all out of 7 colors. On the piano over here, there's only 7 real notes of music. Do you know that? You hit the 8th, you've jumped an octave. Ask the song leader here about it. I don't know much about it, but I know good music when I hear it. And that song you use in Sunday school, I couldn't get that note. Amen. But anyway, I'm joking with Brother Bird a little bit. 7 notes, no more. And you find the whole structure in the Bible on that 7. You find it all the way through the Word of God, which makes it different than any other book in the world. No other book will match up to the test of the 7s. And the whole world is that way. I've read so many things that was kind of an eye-opener when you see the hand of God in the creation. For instance, every 7 years, our bodies, every 7 years, every cell in the body has to be changed. Every 7 years. Ladies, if you've been married 14 years, you're finishing up your second husband. You've been married 21, that's 3. See, I didn't notice any difference. There was a difference. Every 7 years, we get remade whether we like it or not. Sometimes it's for the worse. In fact, old age, I guess it is for the worse. But the truth of the matter is, God's fingerprints is on all creation. And the 7 will identify it. Deviate from the scripture by getting on to this. Better get off of it. Just purposely get off of that. Let's watch it here in verse 3. And it cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he shouldn't deceive the nations no more. All right, that statement tells us he is deceiving them now because we haven't got to this time yet. But the time's coming, he's going to be chained for 1,000 years. He can deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You know, there's so much in the scripture that shows us this. This is the little while. Hold your place in Revelation and just take a minute and go all the way back to the Gospel of John. Thinking on this 1,000-year period, I want to show you where the Lord referred to it in a way we might not recognize. If you go back over to John, look with me in John 16. We'll pick it up in about verse 16. In the Gospel, we say according to John. We'll pick it up in chapter 16, and we'll look down through, starting verse 16 of John 16, and we'll look down about 3 verses. All right, you with me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got it? All right, John 16, pick it up with me in verse 16. Notice the time element. A little while, and ye shall not see me, talking to his disciples. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. Jesus telling his disciples he's about to leave. He calls it a little while. Then some of his disciples say among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. Do you know that it says a little while, a little while, a little while? If you keep counting, how many do you think is there? 7. Isn't it amazing how the Bible fits together? What's he referring to? Why, he's referring to the 7th millennial reign, a little while, They say, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. And Jesus said they were desirous to ask him, knew that they were desirous to ask him. And unto them, all right, I got to get, turn two pages. Said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. When will that happen? When he comes back after a little while. We're living in a little while. Seven times referring, showing us the length. God's creative act was 6 days. His seventh day of rest was the seventh day. And a new beginning, new heaven and earth, we'll get to that in the last chapters, and that'll be the eighth. That's the picture. Now, we can't go by our calendar today, so don't start worrying about that. Our calendar has been messed with by so many through history. Nobody knows which calendar is perfectly right. The Jews go by one calendar, and they're not perfectly right. We go by the Gregorian calendar. We've had popes mess with it. We've had Roman emperors mess with it. And so we don't know, but God has a calendar he's going by. And it fits right in with the Word of God. Now, in a little while, seven times they're pointing out this same 1,000-year reign. Over here in chapter 20, it's 1,000 years long. He says it 6 times here in this chapter so you can get it. The devil is chained. He can't deceive the nations anymore till the 1,000 years is fulfilled. And he says in verse 4, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. We've run this reference before. This is where the Antichrist cuts off the heads of those that will not accept his rule and accept his mark. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. That's the method of killing in the tribulation period. For the witness of Jesus. A lot of witnesses for Jesus being killed today, big time. The world just don't put it in the headlines. Why they killed, it says, and for the word of God. For the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. They had a testimony about Jesus, witnessed for him. They had the word of God, and they refused to worship the Antichrist. Take his mark. Refused to worship the beast. Neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's victory, folks. That's real victory. The beast, two beasts are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. The Antichrist kingdom is going to be defeated. God's saints are going to be raised up. And here in the 1,000-year millennial reign to come on planet Earth, this old earth right now is under a curse from the Garden of Eden on. That's why the thorns are on the rose bush. Why the tornadoes came through the Midwest here recently. This is a sin-cursed world. Any farmer can tell you that, right? He goes out to plant good seed, and what happens? The weeds come up. Just like Genesis says, it's a sin-cursed world. But when the millennial reign comes, this 1,000 years breaks. When Christ is on the throne, the rose bushes won't have any thorns and the grass won't grow in the garden. That's wonderful. You're going to have the curse lifted. Oh, so many things are going to be set right that we can't imagine. The weather just right. I know you can't order coal at Christmas or in August in Florida. But the truth of the matter is, be just right. You know, I get a little bit spoiled here every now and then when we have a decent day where you can work without too much sweat. Wouldn't it be nice to have that all the time? I know some of you ladies, I like a place where there's seasons. I can put on a coat and dress with a coat on. I can put on that, blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of junk. We'll all like it when it gets just right. You won't miss the fallen leaves or raking them either one. Amen. The truth is, that's the millennial reign. Things are going to be right. They're not right now. You don't have to fool around. You know why we enjoy a pretty day? Because we have some days that aren't pretty. We have everything going on in this old world today. It's under sin. It's under a curse. It's got God's curse on it. But that curse is going to be lifted in this millennial reign. Oh, what a day that's going to be. When you see the kids, hungry kids and crippled kids on TV, you won't have that in the millennial reign. So much that's wrong today. Wouldn't it be just, you know, what would it take to make heaven if we could just take the wrong off of earth? Wouldn't that make heaven? We can't, but Jesus can when he comes back. Amen. All right, my time's up. Okay, 7:33 total. We praise the Lord for that. Stay with us 8 or 9 minutes and we'll get the preaching service started.